Welcome to Ask TNA. It's our new monthly advice show now airing the last Wednesday of every month. On this week's show, how do I get more sensuality into my marriage?
How do I deep throat?
And what do I need to know about sugar daddy sites?
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
So this week we are doing our first advice show,
or
first, yes, official advice show. Yeah, where we're going to do this now at the last Wednesday of every month. So you all can send in your questions for us, whatever
yes,
they are.
You can email your questions to advice@tatalksex.com.
And A, we're relaunching our website, but we have a phone number if you wanted to call in, right?
No.
Okay, you can't call in, but who needs to anyway? Just email.
No, email us your questions. Of course, as always, we get a lot of questions through Twitter and Instagram. So if you're comfortable with that, you can post them there. But if you want to have an anonymous question,
a little privacy,
then
not that we have
email.
Any.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can know everything about us, but if you want privacy, feel free.
So, yes, again, that's advice@tatalksex.com. We look forward to hearing your questions.
Yeah.
And we're excited to share with you the questions we have today.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we have a couple more announcements.
A lot of big changes on our end.
Yes, which is good.
So good.
So first of all, you guys, you may have noticed that there have been ads in the podcast episodes. And that's great because that's money so we can keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, it means we're growing and that someone cared enough to play an ad in front of us because you all like what we're doing.
That's great. But we did want to say that these are the type of ads that we're not endorsing these products. And these are just automatically generated ads that we don't really know what's going in there. So if sometimes, I guess, some kind of bot can get in there, and if you see a strange product or an offensive product that's being advertised on our show, please do write us in through our website, tatalksex.com. There's a contact form and let us know. That would be really helpful.
Yeah.
Just because we don't want you to be offended or
we want you to have a good experience.
Yes, exactly. So let's see. What else? Oh, one more thing. LoveTV.co.
Yeah.
So we're super, super excited to have our content hosted on LoveTV.co, which is a new website that's all their content is around sex, love, intimacy, relationships. And we're very impressed with the articles and the different content they have around all this stuff. And so,
yeah, we really aligned with them well. When we met with their team, we were like, yeah, you're our people, you know, just exploring, you know, sex positive, but also pushing yourself to, you know,
like every article, I'm like, oh my God, that's fascinating.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I can get lost in there all day. So, we're just going to be launching our stuff with them. So
yeah, blogs and little videos.
We're going to be doing some more. Yeah. A lot of our shorter, more exclusive videos, which will be hosted there. And then also, which then leads us to our YouTube channel.
Yay!
Which we are finally launching after everybody is like, you guys are hot and you talk about sex, please do video. So we are.
Yeah.
So we have some great...
So if you prefer YouTube, you can go to TA Talk Sex. That is our handle at YouTube. So search TA Talk Sex or, you know, T&A Talk Sex. We'll bring up our videos. We have these really fun little five question teasers that we ask all of our guests.
Yes,
so like
the Jessie, In Bed With series.
Yes, our In Bed With series. So they climb into the bed with us and we
ask them really uncomfortable questions.
yeah, that they have to answer on the fly with no editing. So yeah, we have one with Jessie Kamweiler. We have, you know,
Mark Gray, Professor Puffett.
Yeah, the dude panel. They're hilarious and really fun. So
that's one series. We also are going to have sex and health tips from TNA. Things that we've learned along the road.
Yeah.
We're also going to have an inside series, which is a more introspective look at your sex life.
And what you're learning about yourself.
Yeah, it's basically like what, sexuality is based on attraction. Attraction is based on what you put out in the world. So let's look at what you're putting out.
Very interesting. I just had a conversation like that with a gentleman suitor.
There you go.
About why we weren't aligning.
Exactly. So all that's going to be on our YouTube channel. Again, that's TA Talk Sex.
Yeah. So
that's all the exciting news. Now,
can I say, yes. I just want to share, because this was news to me, A, and it was you told me when we were putting together a press packet, but we are officially in the top 5% of podcasts.
That's true.
With listeners checking us out. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
For showing us that you like what we're doing, and hopefully we can keep bringing you what you're looking for.
Yes, we're busting our ass on all the sexy content we can bring you.
Yeah. Anyway, but it's rewarding because I feel like we care so much about what we're putting out there for you guys. So
yeah.
On that note, let's get to all the things we've learned and how we can help you.
Okay, so these are some questions that came in, and they're anonymous, so we're not going to tell you who they're from. But here we'll kick it off. She says, I love my husband and I love having sex with him, but I want more sensuality in our sex life. How do I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the golden question.
Well, you know what's funny is I just want more sensuality, period. You know, in life.
In life.
I'm getting to a weird spot, A, where my sexuality, it's like I'm getting so open that it's like if I'm hanging out with friends, I'm like, why don't you just like rub my head for me? You know, like let's have a circle
do
hand
we need to
massage.
Rein you in?
I think we do. Like I'm getting to a new level. I feel like in the movie Lucy, when she becomes like she like melts in with the universe and becomes part of this larger machine that's just data. I feel like then I'm like, there's no like body separation. Let's just morph together. I think dude panel impacted me. You know,
yeah,
they came
that like friendly massage. Thing.
Yes, they came to studio and Buddha gave me that friend massage.
Yes. Well, okay. So
a sensual
life, I think, I mean, in a larger scale, I think you're right. See, like sensuality, you can have it at any moment in your life all the time. But I think
it can be hard in
a marriage
where you've been together a while.
Yeah. But, you know, okay. So I do sensual massage. I have in the past. It's been on and off. Now I'm on for a little bit. But, and my clients always comment on how sensual I am and how I have this touch. And I've learned a lot through doing this work, which is there's so much power in how you touch someone. And for me, I was just with a client 2 days ago and I was literally like, I'm massaging his arm, like not even like a sexual place, right?
Right.
It's not technically an erogenous zone, but I'm just massaging his arm. But I what I noticed that's going through my mind is that I'm a very empathic person. And so when I'm massaging his arm and feeling his muscles, it's as if what I notice is that I'm feeling what I'm doing to him. So as I'm relaxing his muscles and relaxing his fingers, it's like I can feel that myself, which puts me automatically in a very sensual place.
And relaxes you.
Totally relaxes me.
In a surprising way.
Yeah. And it puts me in a certain flow. And so I think one way to bring sensuality in is just really focusing on how we touch someone. Because I've had many partners and boyfriends where, you know, it's either you can feel the intensity of the sexual arousal and they want to like get somewhere or go somewhere and they're not really thinking about the actual moment and what their touch holds. And then there can be distracted touch where they're, yeah, sure, they're giving me a massage or touching me, but it's like they're thinking about business or something. And I can totally feel that.
Right.
So
yeah,
I would suggest, yeah, like be very mindful, literally mindful about where your mind is when you're with your partner.
I mean, I know we've done shows on it, but it goes back to like, I mean, that's the best way to strengthen that muscle is meditation, I feel, you know, to practice it even.
But and this is
or
what, like,
use sex as an opportunity to practice
meditation.
You can
use sex as a meditation. This is why my sessions are so, they are very relaxing because I feel like it is this like hour long meditation where it's just a kinesthetic body meditation.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. You know, I said to a friend the other day, I was like, you know, touch is our greatest tool. I think it was a friend of his had like a back injury and he said, you know, he's my friend. Like we don't have that kind of relationship. And I was like, you know, your warm hand on the back is probably the best thing you could do for him, like in this healing way.
Yeah.
But it was such a foreign idea. And I think that just speaks to
the two guys.
Yeah. But I think it's like even in friendship, but even, okay, so you're a married couple. It's like remembering to connect in that way. And I think no matter how long you've been married, that's the best way to connect and have a fulfilling sexual experience. And what I mean by that is I think it's not so much how do I make our sex life racy again or how do I, you know, surprise my partner to have this like hot, steamy sexuality. It's like, How do I give my partner an enriching experience again? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a bit what you're talking about, like that sensual deeper massage and,
yeah, mindfulness. Yeah, go ahead.
I have to say that, to help your partner open up more, because I think it can be difficult to, right? You don't want to come at them and be like, I need you to do this for me.
You're failing.
Right, right. Like, I don't feel like you're connected. You know, usually at that moment you go, okay, well, am I connecting? True. And what could I be doing? Okay, like, okay, let's start with me.
Right. I want more sensuality. So let's therefore start.
Yeah. What does that mean to me? And how can I bring that in more? And mm-hmm. I think, in this case, it's a woman asking the question. I know we've done another show where men were asking, how do I get my female partner to open up? But it's like, as the woman, I think sometimes I know I've given up my power in that way. Like I'm waiting for the guy to kind of lead me, right. Or my
set the
long-term boyfriend setting the tone, like whatever he wants is where we go. And I've really stepped more into my own power of saying, you know, we start touching, mm-hmm. and I'll almost lead the way of like rubbing the hands and really taking time with those details. And that automatically makes him slow down,
right?
You know, and start mimicking the way I'm touching him. And right. I'll massage the face, you know, I'll rub his eyebrows right. and his cheek and really go, okay, I'm paying attention to the skin, or I'm touching his neck now. And we can go that slowly.
Yes.
We don't, and especially if you've been married that long, like, you know, I was joking before we came on the air. I'm like, but we know what our assholes look like. You know, like we've seen every part of each
Nothing
other's bodies.
New about that.
Yeah. So how do I appreciate, right? How do I appreciate those details and challenge yourself to take in your partner that way, and you bring the sensuality and see if he mimics.
Yeah, I totally agree. That leading by example, that's how I would term what you're talking about. And that for sure, I think that's a really great way to bring it in.
Well, and can I add, I've had partners that maybe like, can you know, entertain it for a minute and then try to kind of push faster, and I won't be ready.
Then you crack the whip.
Yeah.
You're like, back the fuck off.
Right. Well, I won't be ready. So then sometimes I'll get nervous, but then I go, you know what, you know, slower, mm-hmm. you know, stay with me, keep doing that. I want more of that. Mm-hmm. And just asking for it, mm-hmm. you know, and I recently had a partner that was like, oh, I like it when you say that, you know, I like mm-hmm. it when you're, and it's not because I'm not necessarily aggressive unless your partner's into that,
right?
But it's like the like voicing what I need, and then when he gives it to me, really rewarding that. You
How
know,
do you reward it.
Good point. Interestingly, the reward can be as simple as you expressing your pleasure.
Yes.
Your enthusiasm, and kind of I think what you're saying, which is the responsiveness. You know, you can like in an empathic way, like you're feeling the enthusiasm of your partner. I mean, you feel
absolutely.
It.
Which, by the way, side note, guys, please be vocal during sex.
Oh, have you had some issues
so
with that?
So many.
What, they're silent?
Yes.
Oh,
and
my
like,
God.
And they even hold their breath or like, yes. It's so awful. Like, could you? And I say this to them. I'm like, I try to get them to breathe and I try to get them to say, you know, just something, you know, and I'm like, afterward, I have this conversation with them afterward. I'm like, well, you know, I think it's just a really big turn on for me. Like, can you imagine having sex with me and where I don't say anything? I don't moan. I give you no clues, mm-hmm. no cues. And they're like, no, that would be awful. I'm like, exactly.
You're like, that's what you're doing to me. You're icing me out.
I know. So, but I think I feel like there can be this nervousness guys around.
No,
like,
I think
expressing pleasure.
Yeah. A lot of men have been taught to just like, you know, yeah, like you're this soldier, like step up and please the woman and, you know, bang her out. And I get this not necessarily like in a violent way, like they'll be like, all right, this is my job and I've got to get her off. And I find I have a really hard time orgasming if I don't feel his excitement.
I mean, look, having a hard on is great, but that's not going to be the end all. Like, I want to hear and feel your excitement through.
I want to see that I
your
excite
moaning.
You.
Exactly. There's other ways. So please bring that in because that's just going to fuel the fire.
Yeah.
I have one more thing. Uh-huh.
On the topic of how to get your partner to be more sensual.
Exactly. Okay. And that for me, what I noticed is intimacy really builds sensuality and brings a sense of newness to the sexual dynamic. And so for me, I noticed, like, I was with my partner, we were together for 4 years, and we went we went skiing for the first time together. And I'm a new skier, so this it's still scary for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea of hurling yourself down an icy hill is still like, what the fuck am I doing? But anyway, so we went skiing together and he's very proficient. And so I'm in this very fearful place, but we had this whole adventure together all day long, basically. And I was very vulnerable. I'm like stuck at the top of the hill and I can't get down and it's embarrassing. And even though I've known him for so long, you know?
Yeah, no, wow, interesting. Those moments of insecurity in front of your partner.
Right. But these are deep human experiences, you know, when you go on an adventure together, trying something new and like, and again, allowing yourself to, you know, allowing myself to be vulnerable and whatever. And yeah, it was embarrassing and it probably annoyed him a little bit, but we got through it. It was fine. And at the end of the day, we really had something to like talk about and laugh about. And we like cuddled up with, you know, our mugs, and it had this really intimate, wonderful connection that launched into a really sparkly, romantic, you know, fuck fest.
Sex. Yeah, sex.
Yes.
With this ends in sex, right?
Yes, but what I'm, yes, it totally, it was, but it was great. And what I'm saying is like, and that was a wake up call. I'm like, wow, that was so cool to actually do something, because I think we can get so stuck in like
routine.
Work and routine. And, but.
Well, can I say something too? I love that story. And I think it's so true. I've had a lot of experiences like that also. And I think more than just traveling, because you can go to a new city and be in a hotel and not feel stimulated, although often a hotel can be, but it's like, what activity can you do together while you're in that new city? And it's like, even if it's like a hike, you know, I remember going to Phoenix or, you know, for a conference with my, you know, my boyfriend, and we stopped in the, I don't remember what they're called, the something about the red canyons.
Oh, and where were you?
Yes, Sedona.
Sedona, yeah.
Yeah, so we did a hike, and it's like so beautiful. Anyway, so just, and so it could be like kayaking or you go skiing, but doing that activity.
Yes. And ideally.
And it could be one afternoon. I mean, you hike a mountain trail together, see a beautiful view, you feel bonded.
Yeah. And if you can push your boundaries in some way outside of the bedroom, it translates into the bedroom.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and, you know, get to the bedroom, do a massage.
Yeah.
We're going to take a mini break because we're now doing commercials.
We're going to be very on it. We'll see you back here in 30 seconds. Tweet us, Instagram us, stay in touch at TA Talk Sex.
Yeah. And if this sparked your own question, you can write us at advice@TATalkSex.com.
Exactly. See you soon.
Hey guys, we're back with TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
And we're talking advice.
This is our first advice show.
Our end of the month show.
So the next question. Mm-hmm. This is a fun question. Okay, here we go. She says, these are all women. I feel insecure giving oral sex to a guy because I can't deep throat. I have a very sensitive gag reflex, and whenever I try, it ends up being a hot mess with me gagging and my eyes watering. But I feel like this is something I need to learn to do. But I wonder if maybe this just isn't possible for me. Any tips? P.S. Do guys really like this?
Yes, I have lots of tips.
Yes, they do.
Gosh, so many things just flashed in my head. First of all, I'm surprised that she feels like it has to happen. To be honest,
you know, that caught my attention as well.
Yeah, that pressure, because I feel like I went many
Stop
years.
Stop watching porn.
Yeah, exactly. I went many years not ever thinking that that was necessary. And I believe that my sexual partners enjoyed the oral sex I gave them.
Yeah, let me think about this.
And actually, you bring a good point. I don't think I even discovered deep throating from porn. I think I started deep throating on my own, like from an extreme pleasure moment.
No, I think because I grew up with three brothers, so porn was all around. So
So
we deep throated all day long.
They encouraged the importance of deep throating.
I'm sure I'm just saying it was around, like I was aware of it. There was porn. You know,
I know. As I say it, I'm like, okay, I saw porn as a kid, but I don't know why I wasn't.
I but let me think about this. I do think that I put it on a little bit of a hierarchy. I do think I have it on a pedestal.
It was like, if I can do that, then I'm like,
then
cool. I'm a badass blowjobber.
Exactly.
I was so ignorant and so like afraid of it. That was never a thing.
Okay, but
now I do it.
So how did okay, so tell us your journey. How did, sure. Tell us your tips and how you did it.
Hey guys, this is T.
Deep throating badass.
Teabagging pleasure. Actually, teabag isn't the balls. That's like hard to do. I don't even know.
No, I love teabagging.
Which is sucking the balls.
Oh, God, I love it.
Oh, no, I don't know if I love it. I like it. Of course I do it. It's all pleasure.
They just put their balls in your face. You just rub your
face. Oh, yeah. Well, so this is actually all part of it. Okay, I mean, it's part of the pleasure of oral sex. And I think that goes back to kind of what we were just talking about, which is the sensuality of it and really embracing this person's genitals. No, but if you're excited about them, then there is a turn on of like even rubbing your face in it.
And I love it.
Yeah. And then look, when I'm with a man, my experiences with men is that they want to rub their face on mine too, which I like. So I distinctly remember the time that I like wanted a deep throat experience and even liked it when he moved my head on his cock,
like,
right?
Face fucking, basically.
Yeah. That's and I was sort of it. Yes, baby, I was surprised that I wanted that. But this always goes back to, like, I feel like I was so embraced sexually by him, and we were having such an intense connected experience that I desired to give in
to
this
give
way
back. Yeah.
And I was very turned on too. And I always find, by the way, I think 69 is a great way to get yourself
to get the right angle for deep throating?
Not necessarily. Okay. That's a good point. No, not for that. More like sometimes I remember kind of in the earlier phases dealing with my own insecurity about it, like maybe
about oral sex.
Yeah, like being shy about being the first to go down or being shy about showing myself that way.
Your enthusiasm.
Yeah. So I found that 69 was kind of this good like neutral ground. Like we're both doing it at the same time, so we can't be judged.
Okay. So get to your deep throating. I want to know about your deep throating.
I'm all over the place.
Yes, I want to know about your deep throating. So this is a new
thing. It was actually with a guy who had a pretty big penis.
Okay.
Big.
So how did you do it? Was it a learning process? Did you, or could you just do it immediately?
I think I did it. I mean, well, it's part of relaxing your throat. I mean, this is interesting. She's saying she's having a hard time doing it.
She has a sensitive gag reflex and her eyes water, which I can relate to that.
Maybe you have more to say on it. I mean, I found that I'm excited. I'm already aroused. I'm usually turned on. Maybe I've even already come once. Uh-huh. So I'm not like launching. Maybe that's the answer. It's almost like a warming up thing. It is an aggressive act. So to just start with that can be a lot. Can be very intense.
But we want to know. So if you don't really know, you just do it.
Well, no, I'll start with, you start with the almost like warming up the same way that you, like a woman often wants to be aroused by a man. I mean, you can start with like tickling the tip. You're kind of running your fingers over it even. You lick with your tongue and then you start to use your mouth.
It,
yeah,
right,
you ease and you're going around and then almost rhythmically, I think, if you kind of move your head in a way that allows you to
define. So deep throating is when the penis goes like
past
your epiglottis, like down your throat, like really far back.
Look, if it goes all the way back, I'll gag too. Like there are times where it's like, but sometimes, I mean, I don't think that I like want it to go
It usually like it'll bend.
Yeah. I felt that.
Yeah.
But that's also like
the penis will bend.
That's also like the deepest version of deep throat. Like there's like a deep throat where it goes there. Maybe it's just the tip that starts to like bend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is also deeper. I think it's tied to your level of arousal and your ability to almost the same way that your vagina opens to a man. Like it's kind of the same thing, actually. It's this like your throat works that way too. It can expand and it's like it's expanding because you're in a pleasure state. I would say even stimulate your clitoris maybe at the same time.
Okay. Good.
Maybe use a vibrator while you're, I think that's really helpful to the process. It's stimulating your clitoris. Sure. He can use his hand. He could finger you at the same time, but also if that's cumbersome and you really want to have that heightened arousal to be able to do that, get a vibrator down there while you're on your knees, down on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I would say that's actually really going to help you open up.
Okay. I have,
there's the real advice after me just talking about.
Okay. So for me, I love oral sex. I love giving head. I have a small mouth.
Right.
I love my mouth. It's super adorable. Men love my mouth.
Mine's just normal.
But I do have a small oral cavity. So, but my dentist, my dentists always comment because they're like, oh my God, they can't get their hands in my mouth. So, but don't worry, I do just fine. Everyone loves my blowjobs. But in terms of deep throating, it has been a challenge and it's not something I do a lot, I guess, but I have done it. And so I'm trying. So what got me able, what made me able to do it was, I really do think it was a mind over matter thing where, like, yeah, there is gagging for me and my eyes will totally water, but just, you just push through it.
I think it's also okay if your eyes water a little bit. Totally okay. I think maybe that's coming into it. Yeah. Like, not from a judgment place, but at a certain level of arousal, again, it's kind of just all exciting.
Right. To push that limit. So I guess it is like when I feel the gag reflex going, or I feel like I can't breathe or something, I calm my mind, and I guess that does, yeah, help open my throat and allow me to go deeper.
But I would also say, like, you can ease back too. Do a little bit and then then take a deep breath and then go again.
It's an in and out thing.
Yeah.
You need to breathe.
And as the person doing it, usually I'll have my hands on like his hips.
And you control the.
Yeah. The men I've been with are pretty responsive to when I, you know, even the slightest pushback. Right. Like, they get it. They're waiting because they're cautious. They're like, wow, I can't believe she's doing that.
Because when you have a penis in your throat, you can't breathe.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Like, let's let that be known. That's normal. So I don't know. People who want to be deep throated, be ready to be very sensitive to whatever signal this person gives you. In fact, put their hands on your hips so that you can feel.
So that they're driving. Yeah.
Yeah. So that they're leading the show.
But I do think practice makes perfect in this.
Yes.
And I do think that there's certain angles. So like for me, if I'm. It depends on the penis shape and it depends on the height of the person and where I'm at. But like, it can work if I'm in front of them, but not always. And sometimes the better angle is for me, kind of like if I'm sort of on top of, if they're laying down and I'm sort of on top of them.
Oh, yeah.
Or even like to the side, or almost like a 69 position, uh-huh. but where they're not doing.
Oh, I love 69 on the side.
Right. But anyway, my point is that, so the penis is like more like, well, I think you bring an angle to go down, it's easier.
Yeah, I think you bring a good point. If the penis is curved upward, like a curving right. upward, then I would say you kind of need to come at these different angles.
Right.
I think if it's sort of more straight or even down or bigger, like, you know, the good classic, like your knees kind of, I mean, you're on the bed, whatever, but if he's like standing and you're, you know, straight on, that right. that works for me. Yeah. But I agree with you. I mean, look, laying down, that can allow it to, right, follow the natural curve of it,
right.
really.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And anything else? Oh, and also I just wanted to comment on this, is that you don't have to deep throat. Do men like it? I rarely have been with a man who specifically requested it.
Correct.
I just noticed that when I go deeper, they respond.
Right.
You know, and so, but I do totally mix it up. Like I don't, mm-hmm. it's not just one thing or another.
Yeah. I'm not like, okay, now I've got him deep throating and I'm going to do this thing for like the next half hour. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. It's totally
just don't feel insecure because you can't like, and do, if you try this and none of this stuff works for you, then it's just, it's totally okay.
Yeah.
You can still give a stellar blowjob without
think
deep throating.
Doing a lot of shaft licking. You know, what's funny is.
And teasing. Yeah. There's a lot
something?
You can
teasing
do.
With my hand. I do this little like kind of tickling, like grazing with my fingernail, like the backside of my hand, just mm-hmm. like running over it so gently, the shaft, yeah, up to the tip, and it's like the guys get shivers from that.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Like
there's
so
still
good.
So much you can do if deep throating is not your thing. So don't worry. And a guy is not gonna,
yeah.
Like,
by the
not
way,
be with you because you can't deep throat.
This is a moment where I love coconut oil.
Yes, if yes,
tastes delicious.
It's nutritious.
It's nutritious and delicious,
and it totally allows for sliding, and it gives you more flexibility and like. What
yeah.
you can take,
well, and I again, think. I think using these like pleasure signals for yourself, like if you like the way coconut oil tastes or you like the way something tastes, it's going to be easier deep throating it. Do you know, you're turned on.
True.
Again, like what are things that turn you on?
Nutella.
So you've got a vibrator on your clit. You've got some Nutella on the penis.
I'm honestly, it was the best blowjob experience I've ever had was Nutella
cool.
dipped penis.
But yeah, so do those little things, like make it fun for you, you know, not just like I've got to do this job.
Right.
It's not. It should totally be fun. And like you should be, and maybe it is like a challenge. And then it's like, you're proud when
challenge.
You do it.
But it's okay. Get ugly. Let your eyes water. Gag.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
It's going to happen. Like,
well, like when I feel myself gag, that's when I do the little hip pushback.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, and I'm good. I'm good. That was exciting.
You
I'm
can
good.
Also lean into the gag.
That's you have.
I think
I've had a little, I've had it to moments where like I have a little bit of like an up. but an I think uptuck mind- moment, and oh, I'm really? Like, yeah, and I'm like,
I've never had that.
I'm like, yeah, oops. I kind of do like a, oops, I should have pushed his hips back sooner. Because I'm like, that was not my favorite.
Do not throw up on the penis.
I mean, look, even if you do, he is not going to shame you for that.
Own it.
Well, yeah,
own it. Well, you threw up on his penis trying to deep throat him.
Because there are women with these stories. I have not had that explicitly happen, but there are women who do it. I mean, that's enthusiasm. I feel like I would have pushed back before that actually happens. Okay, but these women, I would say that, you know, I'm sure it's a turn on for some people. You know, I don't know what to say on that front. I don't know. Have like a barf bag showers. Next to you.
No, don't. You're freaking people out.
Sorry. Look, most people don't expect that. Yeah, just, you know, no pressure. Yeah.
Yeah, no pressure. Okay, so we have one more question.
Okay, can we lead with the question and take a mini break?
Yeah, we have a question about becoming a sugar baby. Sugar baby and sugar daddy.
Okay. Well, so we know a little bit about that.
We have had some experience, which we will share with you coming up.
Yes, we will. We've dabbled in everything, really, is what we're saying. Okay. Again, if you guys have advice, questions for us, anything that comes up for you in this conversation,
anything at all,
advice@tatalksex.com, which is, you know, our website as well, www.tatalksex.com. A lot of people ask us on social media as well. I mean, if you're comfortable publishing a question there, Instagram is our best friend.
TA Talk Sex.
You know, Twitter, we're tepid about, but we'll do it. yeah. All right. We'll be right back. What's the question? Oh, right. Sugar baby.
Sugar baby.
We're back with TNA Talk Sex. I am T.
And I am A.
And we're about to talk about sugar babies and sugar daddies, which is just, I feel like, really present in the media right now.
It is. And it's
a lot of new websites.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, this TV show Girlfriend Experience is coming out. Anyway, it's around.
Yeah, that's right. Right, and you know, then there was a movie that Soderbergh did, and I feel like there's a lot of intrigue and curiosity around the phenomenon.
Yes.
And it also feels like it's becoming more mainstream, or like...
I think so. I mean, I think less judged, just more talked about, more...
It's hard to tell, because we're in
big
cities. Yeah. Yeah. We're in, like, unconventional cities. I was just talking to someone the other day that was like, people in LA and New York aren't real, you know?
Like inauthentic, or we're just not... I do agree that we...
are detached from
the reality of the Midwest, probably.
I mean, Midwest, like everywhere. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're listening to you. I mean, you guys, I don't know. You tell us. Are we? Write us and let us know how we're unconventional.
No, unconventional, yes. But, yeah. You know.
Well, I do find having moved to LA, there's a lot more spirituality, like that kind of, you know, just that. I joke about the woo-woo where I'm like, yes, I drink
California
fresh juice
is
and
like
I meditate.
Very, very liberal. Anyway, okay, sugar babies and sugar daddy. That's the point.
Yeah, okay.
Sugar babies. Here's the question. I'm thinking about going onto a sugar daddy website for various reasons. Financial support, and if I find the right person, it sounds like fun. I get it. I'm a little nervous, though. Is there anything you think I should know? Do you have any experience in this? Is this prostitution? Can I get in legal trouble?
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but having been in prostitution myself.
Yeah. And can I say, in college, I wrote a paper about prostitution, and all my research, I concluded that it should be legalized.
That's a different topic.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so can you get in trouble for it? Okay, so T and I have gone on these websites. We did it together.
Scouted, yeah.
It's been...
made a profile.
We did, and we have, you know, we've contacted these... Anyway, it was fun. It was fun. Been on a couple dates. So we've been on there, and I've also been on the prostitution sites. Of course, there's disclaimers everywhere. There's a disclaimer on the website that we were on. I won't name it.
Yeah, right.
But I know, I mean, it's not, you're not advertising anything, and you're
no,
not.
No, you're, well, and it's also an arrangement that you make between you and this person. Right. Like, from what I've seen, it's really, I mean, you meet for coffee or whatever. You go, you know, you do something normal and comfortable, and then you discuss. And I mean, it's a very interesting nuance. It's like, I'm dating you. I think it's like traditional dating, but well, with the understanding that, you know, we're...
Well, right. So the men I've spoken to, I went on a few dates with this, and the men I spoke with, one of them said, well, yeah, it basically cuts out the first 6 months of dating. It just sort of cuts to the chase a little bit, like not in a... it just, you know, he's like, I always end up supporting them anyway. So it's just
interesting.
It's just being open and honest about it. And then also I've talked with men who are just busy and they just don't want the drama. There's like a lot of, I don't want drama. NSA is no strings attached. Like I don't. And also they're very busy and they can't be a full time partner to someone.
Right. So they've had problems dating. Right. Like
without like, hey, I want you home or I want to go do this.
I have
or
these expectations. You're going to be a companion in a regular way.
So in this kind of arrangement, they don't get that pressure like a partner and a girlfriend. And
I did find there were a lot of married men as well.
Yeah. It's funny because I got contacted by a lot of single men.
There were a lot of single men.
I was surprised at how many, well, they say they're single.
I was surprised how many were married. Because I'd be reading the profile and be like, oh, this guy's cool. And then I was like, oh, right. Yeah. You know, you see something about like, this needs to be discreet. And I'm like, discreet? I mean,
I'm like, discreet's boring. Yeah. Like, well, I want to travel and go on a date.
But I'm like, I'm discreet. Oh, like how discreet are we talking? Can we go to dinner or are you, you know?
Right. So I don't think you can get in legal trouble. I wouldn't worry about that.
No.
That being said, if someone ever asks you like specifically to verbalize what you're going to do for how much money, don't ever do that.
Right.
That, I mean, in case this person is an authority, which I highly, highly, highly doubt there's going to be an authority right. on these websites trying to.
In theory, this sort of site talking about Sugar Bay, Sugar Daddy, that's not quite so implicit anyway. Like,
It's more vague. Yeah.
Well, it is more of like a dating and maybe.
Well, there's a lot of people looking for companionship, but I do sense that these guys sort of lump this into prostitution.
They're not sure where to draw the line.
Well,
which brings us to our point. If you're going onto the site, I think it's important for you to know what you want and really defining that for you in your mind so that when this comes up, when there's a guy going, well, have you ever done this before? Or what's the rule? You know, and it's like, well, there aren't clear rules, but you know what you want and you probably need to state that clearly.
Yeah. And
for a second date,
the distinction to be made here is what they call a paper play, which is basically more like a transactional thing, which is a little bit more like prostitution, where it's a pay per play. So you go on a date or you spend time together and they pay you for that night and that's it, versus a more long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the distinctions. So that's how you would verbalize it in your profile. I have talked to guys who they don't like girls being on there for paper play because they do see that more as prostitution and they differentiate that from what they're looking for on this sugar daddy
website. Do you think that's a little bit of a denial thing or do you think it's
No,
is
I
it
do
different?
Think since I've been on both sides, I have done paper play, you know, in the sense of sensual massage and escorting a bit. And then I have done this and I do think, I do think it is a different energy because they're different intentions. One is, yeah, just more of like a short term spending time together and you may not ever see this person again. And that's what they want and that's what you want and you're okay with that versus developing something together.
Right.
I feel like it is different.
Well, I have to say, like for me,
even though
without being on a site like that, like originally not on a site, you know, I ended up meeting some people that were, you know, separated or were married, you know, or loosely married, what ultimately came out, to be honest, right? It was like maybe they weren't upfront right away. Mm. And then we're sort of involved. And I think for me, when I met them, I didn't have the expectation of a serious relationship. In a way, I was sort of looking for no strings attached anyway. And so I end up finding these men that are no strings attached. And but there's like a nurturing quality and we're companions or there's kind of an ongoing communication. And I think of them as supportive in certain veins. Like,
yeah.
And by that, I mean, there's
you're
some,
saying on this website.
No.
Oh,
I'm
off,
saying
like
I'm
personally.
Yeah, I'm saying
sure.
I'm
yeah,
saying
yeah.
It's, so I'm getting to my point, which is, you know, I end up having these relationships that serve a certain purpose. And by that, I don't mean monetarily. Although if we go on dates, usually they pay because they tend to be a little bit older. What do I mean by that?
No,
that
stable. Financially
yes,
stable.
You're right. That's what I meant.
Whereas we're crazy artists and we're not.
Yes, that is actually the distinction because I've also been with 25-year-olds and they were like, I got this. sometimes I pay too. It has happened. But what I found interesting is, you know, there was a moment where I'm going, well, what the heck is the difference? You know, by what I mean by that is I met this person out and there's an organic connection. And so we do form a relationship, but it isn't with the expectation of marriage. It isn't with the expectation of having children together. We're probably never going to move in together, like these sort of things. But we are like an ongoing support. Like,
sure,
I love this person.
It's
yeah.
intimacy. It's fun. It's
yeah. All yeah. of these things. Sometimes, you know, traveling together in certain places when it matches up. So, you know, then I go, well, what if I target that instead of just dating casually and bumping into whoever I bump into? Mm-hmm. And I say, no, this is exactly what I want. So maybe these sites are well suited for that.
Yeah, I feel like there's definitely a place in the world for this kind of website and for prostitution, both.
Which we have a show called about Sex Workers Unite with, what is it, Melinda Shadowvert?
Mm-hmm.
And she talks more about, I feel like it's worth mentioning for anyone who sort of bristles at that idea. I think there's a lot of interesting dialogue
around. She
brings
up a lot of interesting points about.
Right, sex work versus the feminist movement, what it all means. So
yes.
Check that out if you're like, what the fuck?
Okay, so my what I'm saying is I feel like there's a place for all of this. So I...
Well, it certainly
I think
exists.
It does exist.
At the bare minimum to acknowledge. Go ahead.
Yes. But there's a place for it. And I think the first important thing is not to judge yourself. Be totally okay with this if you're going to move forward. What did I want to say? The economy. I mean, the thing is, yeah, again, knowing what you want and understanding that there is an economy in relationships ultimately, and it's either you're exchanging that monetarily or emotionally or
with your time,
with love or time or whatever. So just know what you're willing to give on what level and what you need to receive on all those levels as well. And that these, I feel like in my time on this website, it is relationship based and connection based, and so it's not just wham bam. So yeah,
finding common ground, common interests.
I think that's something
that you
to be
do
expected.
Activities together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find? I think you mentioned, you know, the issue of like photos, right? Of course, the sugar baby. It's like, what are your pictures? You know, right? They ask that, and I think it was you brought up the point. I think it's important to ask.
Oh yes.
Both
okay.
ways.
This was an important lesson learned because. First of all, your photos, you can do very discreet photos where you blur out your face or whatnot. And that's up to you. You can do whatever you want with that. But for them, a lot of the guys don't have their photos up and you have to ask for a private photo request.
Right, via email or something.
Right. And at first I was like, you know what? I don't want to ask because I see their age on their profile. I see their age, their ethnicity, their body type. Of course, they could be lying about all of this. But, you know, assuming that they're not, okay. And then I just wanted to read their profile. And if I was really caught by their personality, I wanted that to lead. And I was like, you know, and a picture can only really tell you so much. So I didn't want, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to be adventurous and I'm not going to ask for a picture. My learning lesson in this is ask for a picture. Because I have had men who were lovely, but they, you know, one was 40. He said he was 47 and he ended up being like 72. So
that is a big lie. We can tell the difference.
Exactly. And that's not that that's necessarily bad, but the fact that you would be dishonest about it.
When you're not expecting it.
Yes.
It doesn't set you up for success.
Yeah. And it also you do have age limits. And so for someone to manipulate me into something that doesn't feel good. And also, I really do think that like this kind of website can take up a lot of time because you're going to get a lot of hits.
Right. Tinder takes up a lot of time.
Sure. But so in order to, especially in LA, like there's traveling all over. It could take you hours out of your day, you know? So,
factor in travel time.
So, that will, I think you really can actually tell a lot from a picture in terms of,
I think, you know,
simpatico and connection and chemistry.
People's energy shows. And I do, you know, some people have maybe they get nervous in front of the camera. Like
sure.
That happens. So people have like weird photos.
But you can see something else lurking behind the nervousness.
So. Yeah, there is like an essence quality. I do feel like you surprisingly can know a lot about a person.
Yeah. So that's my experience. Let's see. Do we answer everything that she said? She's nervous. My person sounds like I'm a little nervous. Is there? Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, we covered all the bases.
Yeah. Go forth and conquer, lady.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's. I loved. You know, just what you were sharing about, you know, just trusting that you know what you want and. Mm-hmm. And I think being honest with yourself, because I think there can be a lot of self.
Yeah. And you and I went through this because you were a little nervous about, you're like, well, I don't know who to pair. Like, you know,
I know.
And
I was like, well, he seems okay.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, there's going to be a lot of people who seem okay. So if you go, this is why you need to know what you want.
Right.
And what's, and trust that you can find it, and don't like,
don't go for anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But don't like, if you keep, you can convince yourself that anything will work.
And in many facets of your life.
Exactly. So, and that will totally make this a very monotonous and like drawn out thing.
Well, look, I got overwhelmed on Tinder. I was like, what is going, I can't even tell anyone apart anymore. You know, and you start going, well, he seems nice. I mean, he's fine. So you almost have to, that comes back to kind of that, again, checking in with yourself going, this is what I want. This is what I want for myself. This is what I see. And being open to maybe someone who kind of aligns, but like, you can lose yourself in all of these people's profiles and descriptions and photos on all of these dating sites. So I think it just comes back to like, what was I looking for again? Oh yeah, that's not it. Or yeah, that is it.
Yeah. Yeah. And take a break, you know, because honestly, you can like, you can spend like all of your free time throughout the day looking at all, you know, reading your messages, and it's just,
and what's your priority?
And it numbs you. No, it really does, in the sense that then you're not clear when you read the next person's profile.
That's like, funny. No, you're right. Take a break. You're right. And what's your priorities? And I don't know. I think it's just like any other dating site, like, you know, look for someone that you match with, but make sure you exercise and do your activities for the day. If you try out the sensuality thing and you're still struggling, you know, write us.
Yeah. In the meantime, you can go to our website, tatalksex.com, to write us an email if there's, you know, anything you want to contact us on there for. Also on Instagram and Twitter at tatalksex.
And find us on lovetv.co with little videos, and or go to YouTube. We have videos there as well. So TA Talk Sex.
Thanks for listening.